John 11:23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother will rise again, because he died. And she was upset because he didn't come when she wanted him to. Martha said unto him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That resurrection she was speaking about is going to happen in our generation. Amen. There is at least 7 years in front before that happens. At least 7, my opinion. There is a great move of God that hadn't even started yet. Until that starts, there's at least 7 good years before that event takes place. He said, he shall rise again in the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the, say the, resurrection that you're referring to. That last day that you're talking about, I am. That's not an event, that's a person. I am the resurrection of that day you just spoke about, and I am the life of it. I am the resurrection, I am the life that's going to transform the body. And to prove it, he called Lazarus out of that grave. He called his dead body out that had been dead for 4 days. By this time, Lord, he stinketh. He called his dead body out to show that he was the resurrection. And he raised him from the dead to show that what he just said to her, he demonstrated. Because I am that resurrection. I am that day. I am the life of that day. I am the life of the completed redemption. Anybody ever struggle with your body in the earth? We are the generation that won't have to struggle with this mortal flesh anymore. We are the generation that's going to override the law of sin and death operating in this body. It's already happened to your spirit, but we're going to override it in the soul, the mind, the will. The mind in the last days is going, the law of sin and death that overshadows the mind and dulls the true mind that God gave us is going to be shattered. And the mind of Christ is going to come out. And God's thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sand of the seashore. He's genius in so many ways. Just recently he revealed to us, incredible, you can listen to it, the wells of Bathsheba, the way he thinks is so magnificent. The 7 wells of Bathsheba. And we saw it in Jeremiah's life too. We're seeing this, how it pertains to our generation. Now go over to Matthew 17 and verse 1. They should not put the chapter right there. You know Jesus didn't speak in chapters and verses. King James put the chapter in the wrong place. That should have backed up a little bit, but they actually didn't know what to do with this verse. He said, after 6 days. I want to know what happened before. Amen. So what would you do if you want to know what happened before? You'd have to go to the chapter before. Verse 26 of chapter 16 should have been chapter 17. For the time, we'll just look at 26. For what profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for the Son of Man? Watch this. This is where we want to start. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels and reward every man according to his work. What do you think he's talking about there? He's actually talking about the second coming. But then look at verse 28. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here right now in front of me which will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. There'll be some standing among you today, but in particularly Peter, James, and John, you will not taste death before you see me coming in the second coming of the Lord. And there's a reference there even in my Bible of 2 Peter, which Peter spoke about. So after 6 days, guess what happens? Mount of Transfiguration. There's so much in the Mount of Transfiguration. Our future is in this transfiguration. This transfiguration went beyond their time, beyond the time that they would not see death till they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, all the way to the second coming, the one after the tribulation age, where he would come in his glory as king. Amen. And he took them to a mountain apart, verse 2. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his clothing became white as the light. The glory manifested. Peter, James, and John were there. Moses and Elijah, they were the prophets. Peter, James, and John, they were the church, the church. And they saw the manifestation of his glorified body. They saw more than that. They saw the manifestation of his glorification as the second coming king. God translated all of them outside of where they were into a realm of the earth that hasn't even happened yet. How do you know that? Because Peter said they did. Unless you would take the second book of Peter out of the equation, chapter 1 and chapter 3 is all about this encounter. And just so you know, I'll just go into this little reference about this. You, some standing here, you won't taste natural death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You will witness it firsthand. How is that? Well, let's see what he's talking about. It's a great mystery. Go to 2 Peter 1. As we're on a mission to enter into this transfiguration, Isaiah prophesied it's going to happen to a generation. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord has what? Risen. Not fell. Risen. It's coming from within. What do you think he means? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the hope of glory. Because Christ in you is a seed that's manifest the first half already. The second half is going to manifest in already pre-programmed inside. What do you say? I am that life. I am that day. I am the resurrection of the day. And I am living in you. And I will manifest that day from within you. The hope of glory is going to go poof. And this body will give way to life. So will your mind. All restraint against you will be completely eradicated. All restraint of the body, mind, heart, and soul eradicated. You're born again, spirit, soul, and body. All that is already within a seed inside of you. Already manifested the first part of your inheritance. That's why you're no longer a sinner saved by grace, because you have been born again. Your spirit's already been created in the image of God. Your body is going to give way. The same life, that same resurrection life that's inside of you will release phase two in this generation. But we are not of those that want to wait, so we're going to go on and get you some. You have to understand the face of God to do that, but first things are first. Let's look at Peter. Listen, if I see the Lord do it, that's all I need. If he did it, I can do it. You know why? Because his eye do nothing in mine own self. I can only do what I see the Father doing it. Nothing he did on the earth he did by being the Son of God. He had to take upon the nature of Abraham. He had to take upon a body like yours. And he had to do it all by faith in your shoes. Because if he did one single thing as the Son of God, you could not obtain to it. He did it as a man, the Son of Man. That's how he did it. I in myself can do nothing, he said. In fact, the devil tried to get him to do it in the garden. He tried to get him to operate in the authority of being the Son of God. If you be the Son of God, If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, he wouldn't do it. Because he wasn't going to do it as the Son of God. He was going to do it as the Son of Man. Because he was here to restore our redemptive right. And if he did it from his position with the Father, we could not obtain it. Because he did it as one of us, we can all obtain it. He that believeth on me, out of his belly will flow rivers. It's a good service today because there is some serious resurrection. Makes me want to go get some more. It's very contagious. I'll tell you, if you think the enemy hated you now, wait till you start accessing life. Because his whole kingdom operates around death. It's a culture of death. You're seeing it on the media now. You're seeing them parading children around. They're a culture of perverted death. They can't get enough. Why do you think there's such emphasis on the children now? They want to corrupt the children because they want their innocence, because they have no innocence. Their innocence has been destroyed because they serve death. They serve the father of death. So the only life they can get is take someone else's life. And so the ones who have the most life are the children. They have the innocent life. That's why they want the innocence. That's why you see the culture of death coming out of shadows right now with boldness, because they're like vampires. They got to have the innocence. All along they could have had it from the Lord, but they served the wrong father. Anyway, 2 Peter 1, verse 16, Peter is going to write about his encounter on that Mount of Transfiguration. He says, for we have not followed, verse 16, 2 Peter 1, cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming. Chapter 3, he's very explicit about what coming he's talking about. Second coming. When we made known unto you the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But were eyewitnesses, say eyewitnesses, of his majestic glory. They saw him as king in his glorified body. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. What did Hebrews chapter 2 say? When he ascended, he was raised and crowned with what? Glory and honor. Peter saw him in that state. He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom we're well pleased. And this voice came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So when we made known unto you of the second coming of the Lord, we were not operating out of cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitnesses and we saw it in his second coming majestic glory. That day, he revealed, I am the resurrection. Do you know why he had to do that while in the earth? Because there was a generation that were going to be glorified while in the earth. And that event had to be done as the forerunner. He had to be glorified as the forerunner because God the Father was going to glorify an entire generation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump. And we are forever transformed and changed. This corruptible body will put on the incorruption of life itself. He said, I am that life. I'm going to come and live inside of you. I'm going to manifest first phase when you're born again. I'm going to manifest second phase if you're part of that generation. And he says, though you were dead, some would die before the time, but there are some among you that would see this happen before you die. Peter, James, and John were the three that would witness the Son of Man coming in his glory. And they witnessed it on the Mount of Transfiguration, because that's what happens when you get in the glory. When you're in the glory like Isaiah, he was caught up to the throne. during a time where God was about to judge Israel, at a time he was going to judge them and take them into 70 years of captivity because of their idolatry, the four and living creatures, the seraphim, were up there seeing something else because they said the door of the temple shook, the very one John went through. That those four living creatures saying, holy, say, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with the glory. The whole earth. Not even during the time of the Lord was the whole earth filled with the glory. It was a generation of the last days where the seraphim were seeing way beyond the day of Isaiah. And Isaiah got caught up in the glory in a stone. They took a coal and they touched his lips. He goes, whoo, we're a man of unclean lips, an unclean nation. But Isaiah, because he got caught up in the glory, he spoke and prophesied of his day. He spoke and prophesied of the day of the Lord. And he spoke and prophesied of our day. Because he was caught up in the glory. So when Peter, James was caught up in the glory, they saw and witnessed firsthand the second coming of the Lord. In all of his glorification. Like going on in the Mount of Transfiguration. But the Lord, because a generation were going to be called out of the earth and glorified, caught up while in the earth, the Lord had to be the forerunner. He had to move into the glorification. He had to finish it before God began. And when he finished it, all the Father did was release his life into his body. And he had the law and the prophets to witness. He had Peter, James, and John to witness. They all witnessed him in his glorified, resurrected body. And his face did shine as the sun in its strength. John was later caught up in heaven and saw the same glorification, but they saw it, and no telling how far they went, because Peter, in chapter 3, he spoke beyond 1,000 years. So I don't know how far he got to go. He just made reference. He went out there. Star Trek. How many of you want a Star Trek? Boldly go where no man's gone before. We got to do some Star Trek in the face of God. I mean, I want one of those warp things. I'm like, I want to warp into God. I said, no more of this. I don't want to be like Han Solo and his warp doesn't work. I want to be like Scotty. Put her in fifth gear. In the face of God, we can go. I don't have to wait for an encounter. This I know. If the word says it, I do believe. That's why Paul could write what he wrote indeed. He wrote what he said in Romans 8. To whom he did foreknow, he predestinated. To whom he predestinated, he called to the cross. To whom he called, he justified. Is there anybody in here that's justified? To you that have been justified, he already glorified you. He did it on the day of the transfiguration. Your redemption was completed when Christ came in. The seed of redemption was already done. It was completed. It purchased the body for you. Whether your body dies or you're part of generation resurrection, it matters not. Your body, whether it was burned, whether it was disseminated, thrown into the sea, it doesn't matter. The dead in Christ will rise first. Everyone who went before us, their bodies will come out of the graves. And then we that remain caught up with him forever. Immediate. But to understand, hear this well, that resurrection has already been purchased, completed, and done. And then God packaged it all up into a seed and he planted it inside of you. He packaged your resurrection body. Give him a new mind. Give him a new heart. Give him new emotions. Give him a brand new body. New body. Give him a new created body. New spirit. Put it all in Christ. When he said, I am the resurrection. Now plant that seed inside of them and release its phase one. That's what happened when you gave your spirit to the Lord. And your spirit, if he could take your eternally dead spirit and move it to life, you don't think he can take this body and turn it to life? the power of God working to us where to believe, and you, he quickened together. He already did it. We were already raised together with him. We were already crowned with him. We were already made to sit together with him in heaven. We were already made heirs. God is moving in an already done realm. That's why only way Paul could have wrote those words to him who glorified, not going to glorify, is because Christ completed it. He must have saw that in the transfiguration. He must have seen that it was done. He must have already knew by revelation that it was already within, purchased, completed and done. Nothing was going to change it. It was coming out. We are phase two generation. It's not enough for me anymore to have the life in my spirit. I want it in my body now. I want the life in my mind. I want it in my emotions. How many of you like to be born again in your emotions? For all you that have dealt with dysfunction, the dysfunctional generation, or do you have any dysfunctional people? Used to be dysfunctional people, raise your hand. How many of you still deal with past dysfunction? I'm like, God, how long this stuff got to hang on? Your mind, your emotions, your heart is going to be born again. The life is going to recreate in the image of Christ. He holds our image already. He stands at the finish line. He's going to call everybody to follow him in to the completion of salvation. That's a little different than I'm waiting to be called out of here so I can escape the world. We are not going to escape. We are overcomers in the world. God is going to reveal the resurrection life. The witness that we'll have of the resurrection is the final one, the body. The early church witnessed the early resurrection. We are witnessing the final one, the redemption of the body. And God is going to show up in our body. And the glory is going to be seen upon our body. A few spot and wrinkles may go too. A little aging going to reverse. If he could call Abraham and Sarah back into the time alive, he can call me back. That didn't matter when I was Cody's age, when we're praying, Cody like checks out when I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah being called back to time of life. But because of my age, I haven't had to work on it. I mean, we want to call back to the time of life or go forward. Now I'm going forward to the time of life. I used to go back to the wedding dance when we were like 30s, but now I'm going to go forward to the new wedding. But because I have a glorified body, it's going to be rolled back anyway. So it doesn't matter. Amen. No, if you put your faith in that, I'm putting my faith in it. And since I've been doing that in the tree of life, I don't get sick. I've been sick in a long time. Don't have very much pains. Said, I am the resurrection. And I'm inside of you. You know what his name is? The hope of glory. What does the hope of glory mean? He's the hope of the finished redemption. He's going to complete it in our generation. We're going to be called up out of here in our glorified body. Because it's already been completed in Christ, we have a right to go and access it. It won't stay on you continuously, but the Bible's very clear. He said he will quicken your mortal body. The life can manifest in your mortal body. He goes, I am the life. I am the resurrection. You're speaking about that day. I am that day. That day is already inside you. We're the generation. I'll say this and then we'll close this beautiful service. Abraham and Sarah, they were called to overcome death. In fact, God gave them a commandment at 99 years old. She was 90. He waited till all their birthing faculties were dead so they wouldn't be helping him out in the natural anymore. No more Ishmaels. You know, God waited since he was 84, Ishmael. God didn't come talk to him until he was 99. All the Ishmael was out. And then he comes and said, you're going to bring a son out of your own body. And they both laughed. Do you think they were laughing in ha ha ha? Yes, Lord. They were both of them were laughing in utter unbelief. At 99 and 90, they were both in unbelief. Utterly laughing. In fact, Abraham fell on his face laughing. Can a child be born? And to prove it, he said, oh, that Ishmael lived forever. He should not have said that. Because he was carrying in his loins the father of many nations. God had to honor what he said. But God appeared before him. And he had already taken him out in front. Get to that in the face of God. He had already finished him. He just brought him back to where he was, but God finished it for him in the face of God. That's a whole other teaching. But anyway, they gave birth and overrode their own faculties. In fact, the Bible says in that chapter that Sarah was well stricken in years. Remember? Two chapters later, she's a hottie. King Abimelech wants her. A king. Wants a 90-year-old woman. Something happened to Sarah. And God told Abimelech, touch her and you're a dead man. He goes, I didn't know. He goes, that's the only reason you're not dead. God turned them back and rolled their bodies back into the time of life. They gave birth. They overrode death in their body and gave birth. Our generation, the kind of faith God is looking for, and he's going to get, is those who can override, not to give a natural birth, but can override the law of sin and death operating still in the body, because they foresee a new law that's already been purchased, paid for, captured, planted in a seed, and is within. And that seed is going to give forth its life the same way it always did. Speak to the rock, and it'll give forth its water. For that rock is inside you. Speak to the rock, it'll become first a fountain for you to drink, and then rivers will flow out from it of living life water. We are the generation to override death, spiritual death, law of the spirit, law of sin and death. That law that's still operating in the body and in the soul. If you don't believe, those of you that are after 50, 60, just look down in the shower, you'll see. This body is not getting any younger. But there is a life that we're all going to access. And the Bible's very clean. This clear, this glory will be seen. It's not just going to arbitrarily manifest. God's looking for the kind of faith to manifest this glory. And seen on us, seen. The expression, why? We are going to tell the world, you're in the last days. This is who we are. That's who you are. You better get to know the Lord quick, because time has been shortened. We're called to give witness of the resurrection. You're in the day of the resurrection, and God's going to confirm it by lighting our bodies up in front of the world. That's where we're headed. Get your eyes off of the world system. Eyes upon what God's doing. He's going to override the systems of the world for a whole season. He's going to stop that Babylonian harlot from controlling the world. She's bent on. And he's going to manifest his glory. The kings and priests will rule and reign for a whole season before we're then taken out of the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.